with Stace Cargie and Lindy Turner.
Welcome to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Pal. I'm Stace Cargie.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
This is our weekly conversation about all things that matter. And I'm just going to give a heads up before we even start. If you are graduating this weekend, or you've got kids or grandkids that are graduating, you can find this on our website, clinchpal.net, under radio shows. You might want to forward this on to them because we're going to be talking adulting 101.
No, buddy. They need to hear this. They need to hear this. They need to hear this.
When I think about adulting, the first thing I think of every time is that I do not know how to put air in my tire or change a tire. I'm laying myself out there. I have no problem being completely vulnerable when I tell you I will play hapless female all day long. I do not know how to do this.
Well, Stace, that is an early lesson to should have learned in adulting.
I know, you would think. I will give my parents grace on this. I did not get my driver's license until I was out of the house and I was 20.
Oh.
For many, many reasons. First and foremost was that I had transferred from California to Washington State to a very small rural community
right.
that only gave driver's ed your sophomore year. But because I had transferred,
yep.
it was my sophomore year, I had to take requirements that were not required in California.
Right.
And of course, being a small school, they were only at certain times, which
right.
was during driver's ed. So I could not take driver's ed.
I get it.
So that's where it all started. And then somewhere along the line of my dad taking me out in his Vega and screaming that you're dropping my transmission, that was the end of that.
Oh, must have been, yeah, clearly it was a stick shift.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And then again, my first vehicle was a stick. I did learn how to drive. I can drive a stick.
There you go.
I will say that.
You managed. You managed.
I did. I can
But
even,
you still can't put air
can't
in your tires.
No, I can power shift a 1975 Ford Pinto wagon,
right.
but I cannot change a tire. What does that tell you about where my skill set lies?
Well, there you go. There's
but I think
all
it's important.
Kinds of things that have to do with adulting.
I think that's super important, and I really wish that there was just some kind of a class. And we used to have current world problems. We used to have econ in school, and I'm sure they do too. But there was nothing that was Adult 101.
There you go. I think there should be a major called adulting.
Right? I mean, everything from writing
a
check.
Should be a required course, just like English, all 4 years of high school.
You should know how to do certain things.
Yes, you should.
You should understand the difference between a transaction history on a bank statement and a bank statement.
I know. We're doing our young people disservice.
We really are.
Yes, we are.
And this actual conversation kind of stemmed from Miss Lindy and I having a conversation about documentation needed for home loans.
Because right.
that's what I do in particular. That's my specialty. And it is a common theme that all requests is required. We request tax returns and W-2s, and we have to have bank statements. Something crazy has happened the last few years
mm-hmm.
where everything has gone so electronic.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was leaving for college and I had my first bank account, you know, I had the bank register, I had the check
right.
register, and I had, you know, learned how to do all of this. That was one thing, right? Now you don't have that anymore because in the wonderfulness of technology,
right.
we've all got our little debit cards and we can swipe and we can click, click, click on our app and we can see what our current balance is. So why should I ever have to balance a checkbook?
Mm-hmm.
I know what my balance is. I can look. It's right there on my
mm-hmm.
app. Famous last words.
Famous last words.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah, that was my son's famous last words before he realized that his bank would allow him to charge that miscellaneous soda or whatever that he bought at the grocery store that ended up costing him $38 because he didn't have the money in his account because it was still showing pending. So again, famous last words.
Yeah.
Just because it's not showing up on your app does not mean that that charge is not there.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the swipe of the card or in the, you know, just Google Pay, Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, you name the 5,000 different
yes.
times easy to pay.
Yeah.
It is almost laughable at how quickly you can overspend.
Yeah. Very quick.
Yes, absolutely. Overspend, not really have an idea of where it went,
mm-hmm.
and have an overwhelming feeling of always being broke, but you still don't have any idea why.
Exactly. And that is the one thing. I can look at someone's bank statements.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take me about 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say, here's why you're not saving.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And when I start going over charges with a client, when we're doing an education piece, and they'll say, well, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Uh-huh. Have you looked at your bank statements?
Right.
Well, I don't get bank statements. Do you have online banking? Well, yeah, but I never look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to open up your online bank and we're going to have a little look-see.
Right.
You know, and it's the things that you don't think about. You pick your kids up at school, you run through the drive-through, you swipe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that was $27.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next day you're on your way to work and you stop and get Starbucks, and that was another $7. And then you're at work and everybody's doing DoorDash. So now you know your share of that. Well, you ended up cash apping them.
Mm-hmm.
A cash app.
Mm-hmm.
You end up cash apping, and it goes on and on, because these are the thoughtless things that are your expenses every month versus what am I thinking about? I know I've got my rent. I know I've got my light bill. I know I've got my phone bill. But it's these little things.
All the things.
The 20 bucks here, the 20 bucks there, that will kill you.
Yeah. And our natural inclination, mine mm-hmm. is as well, is to somehow, you know, it's kind of easy to zone out of certain things that you just maybe wish you hadn't done. And like you said, with home loans or I mean, we do financial coaching and all kinds of different programs, but always in the first step is we have people send us their household budget, their monthly expenses and income. And then we ask for the bank statements. And it is, like you say, as eye-opening in that we take the bank statements, go through them, categorize all of the expenses, and then when we meet with you, then we're like, okay, here's what you think you spend, but here's what you actually spend. And it takes your breath away with folks all the time. You know, it's just because we pretend, or life is fast-paced and, you know, just a few too many swipes and you're way over. And it's generally hundreds of dollars difference for a household, isn't it, Stace?
It's ridiculous. And one of the things that smacks me upside the head this time of year is I think back to my kids getting ready for college and when I went to college. When I went to college, student loans, I had to go to the bank with my parents mm-hmm. to sign my student loan application at the bank. And they went over everything with us, and this is the obligation, and the money went straight to the school, and that was that. It's not that way anymore. Now the way that your student loans will work is you fill out your FAFSA, which is the federal application for student loans, so it's the whole thing. So you get that, and then you send it. It is electronically sent to your schools of choice that you know are considering, and then your schools will come up with a financial aid package. But you can max out a loan. So you can actually get more money back.
Just 1 second
sure.
there. That term right there.
Max?
Well, no, before it. The financial
yes.
aid package.
Mm-hmm.
That has a connotation of here are all the monies, the assistance that we're going to provide you mm-hmm. so that you can go to school. It's a misnomer.
Yes, it's
so
100%.
Just hold that thought, listeners, as Stace goes on with this conversation, because that is part of the problem.
It's a huge part. So here's what the financial aid package when I went to school looked like. It was you're getting XYZ, which is your Pell Grant. You're getting XYZ, which is your, if you've got any kind of scholarships or things like that. And you're getting XYZ for your housing, and because you're living in the dorm, I was living in the dorm, and for your tuition. And XYZ at the bottom was how much I had to bring in. That was what my responsibility was. And I think I had to come up with about $2,500. That $2,500 I had student loan, I had student jobs, like the student campus work study. So I had work study, which I had to make my payments towards that. And I would take my work study check and I would go to the purser's office every payday and I'd make my payments. And then if I had anything left over, that was my expense, that was my living money. So I had my work study and then I also had an off-campus job because I needed, you know, spending money.
Right.
So that was what it looked like in 1987. I left school with about $6,000-$7,000 in loans. It wasn't a lot. It was a lot to me.
Right.
But it wasn't a lot.
Right.
Now, let's fast forward. So now, when my kids go to school, they get their financial aid package, and it is your financial aid package for this school. This is what this particular school says you need. Here's what the tuition amount is. Here's what the boarding amount is. Here's what your expenses are. That is the kicker right there.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is this is what we consider to be your transportation, your books, your food, all of these other things. We're expecting it's going to be about, let's say, $10,000. So now, here's how much you're going to get for your Pell Grant. Here's how much you're going to get for your any scholarships. But now this loan is not only going to cover your tuition and your boarding, but it's also going to include this mysterious amount of expenses that is a formula that each school comes up with. So instead of you getting a loan and then you may have that difference where you get the work study job,
right.
It doesn't work like that anymore. You could still get work study if you want to get over and above and you want to have some living expenses. But right off the bat, my kids got about $10,000 a year above their student loans. Above their student expenses.
Right.
So
which was a straight up loan.
Which was a straight up loan at 3.5% at the time.
Right.
So this is a loan, and I sat my kids down and we had this discussion. I said, here are your options. This is what you're looking at. These are your expenses. Now, how are you planning to support yourself through school? One of the things that I was very, very blessed and able to do for my kids is I said to them, I don't want you working your first year. I want you to enjoy your freshman year.
Right.
If you want to get a little off-campus job, no more than 10 hours a week. I want you to enjoy it.
Right.
I will help you year one. Mm-hmm. Because that was something that I never got the option to do. I had to just go, you know, straight to the walls and work and work and work.
Right.
And I felt like I missed out on the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want that for my kids. I want them to at least enjoy it.
Right.
And have some maturity. Because when you're first going into college, they're so much different. You're on your own for the first time.
Freedom!
Exactly. So it's all of these things, right? And it's a big challenge. And I wanted them to be able to lock down, one, who they are and who they're on the road to being. But two, I wanted them to be able to not have to stress.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you know, and studying is a lot of stress in college.
It is.
So, but
it's
you want to have a balance. Work hard.
Play hard.
Play hard.
So that was my role for them, year one. Year two, you want extra, you're going to earn it. Right? But I wanted them to have that year. So
yeah.
I was really blessed to be able to do that for my kids. But I sat them down and I explained to them how these loans worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm really happy to say that while they did take some of it, they didn't max it.
Right.
I'm going to take that as a win.
Absolutely.
Because it was their choice.
Right.
100% their choice. Because they could have been so much worse.
Yes. But that still is a very important, because they were adults.
They're adults.
They're 18 at that, or older. You're adults at that time. But it's still, it is such a options. You know, when you graduate high school, you know, world's your oyster. There's so many options. What do you choose? And if college is what you choose, then paying for it is not cheap. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And student loans have become just the norm.
Yep.
It's like, you know, everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, and you may need student loans, mm-hmm. but just like you said, doesn't mean you need all that they're
That's right.
offering. And the recognition, which I just don't think that that the people making the student loans, my hats are off to counselors, but we need to add a little more counseling. It's counseling of how you can, we want you to come to the school, mm-hmm. But there also needs a piece of making sure that you understand the obligation and what you're signing for and really, really, really understand what the payments will look like and the length of those payments. And mm-hmm. this is one semester or 1 year. You've got how many more years to go?
Yep.
And I'm betting our conversation's we're gonna kind of go there a little bit more
yes.
here in a little bit.
Yes, we are. In fact, we're gonna take a short break. We're gonna come back talking about student loans and adulting 101. This is Dollars and Cents on WAEW.
If you've ever dreamed of owning a home, but credit or income issues stood in the way, Clinch Powell can help. As a HUD-certified counseling agency, their staff of caring and compassionate counselors have the knowledge and skill to get you back on track. The best part, their services are free. Start today by calling Stace Cargi at 865-274-8598 or visit them online at clinchpowell.net. Clinch Powell is an equal housing opportunity. NMLS 240-3630.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I'm Stace Cargi.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation on all things that matter. Today, we are talking graduation right here now. Wow. And adulting and the things that we need to know, particularly talking about student loans. And Lindy, you were just talking about how more counseling is needed when it comes to student loans. And I'm gonna say something here, which is really important. The counseling that you receive when you are filling out a student loan or a FAFSA application, you don't really get counseling anymore. What you get is you get your promissory note, and when your promissory note comes in, it's all electronic, nothing's on paper. It is literally here's five questions, and we're going to give you the answer. If you borrow $20,000 and you choose option A, B, or C for your payment plan, how much is my payment? Is it A, B, or C? You click A and you're wrong, it's going to tell you, no, it's B, try it again. So you're not learning anything necessarily. Mm-hmm. There's nobody saying to you, other than this click, 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 that you've got 20 years of this payment, assuming you do not make any additional principal payments. You've got 20 years, and that's just this one loan. That's just this year. So if you're doing this over 4 years, or in my case, when you're getting a doctorate, I mean, I've lost how many years of schooling I've got now. I'm completely lost. I know how much my student loans are, and they ain't pretty. But the thing that I wish I would have known now that I didn't know then is that when you are filling out these applications, this is not mystery money, right? This is not money from the heavens that are coming into my bank account.
Right.
This is an obligation that is not going anywhere except out of my bank account at a later date with accrued interest.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really important.
Yes.
So when people talk about all the student loan reforms and the student loan forgiveness and all this, there's a lot of buts at the end of that sentence. Student loans are being forgiven, but only for this amount, and you have to have this and.
Right.
So that list of buts and ands goes kind of on and on, and it's a very small pool of people that are actually receiving student loan forgiveness.
Right.
I am somebody who believes in the public service forgiveness for student loans. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a political statement. This is just my personal belief. The reason why I am in favor of it is, one, you still have to make payments. You have to make 10 years worth of payments. So
right.
It's not a freebie.
No.
But second of all, if somebody has the level of education that, for instance, I'm getting my doctorate, I'm one semester away at this point, theoretically. Well, we'll ask that back in December. But for my level of education, if I were to work in the public sector, my fee would be significantly higher for my level of education. If I'm going to sell my services to a public company as a doctorate, they're going to pay for that. Mm-hmm. However, I choose to work in a more mission-based environment. That is where my heart and soul is. I work for a nonprofit. So my income is obviously not going to be commensurate with a public corporation. It's just not. That's just the way it is. If I'm a teacher and I've got a doctorate, I'm very valuable to the educational process. So teachers, yes, to be able to give incentive to work in a nonprofit environment or to work in an environment where we need social services.
Right.
Right. But we need that education piece.
Right.
We have to compete somehow.
Right.
So to me, that public service forgiveness after 10 years is a really nice compromise.
Mm-hmm. It's an investment.
It 100%
that is. We all benefit from because of the public service aspect
right.
of it.
And I think that's super important.
But nevertheless, whether there's a piece of forgiveness or not, it's still a loan. And
that's right.
So many of our youth, it is their first foray into debt.
Yes.
You know, and that's what the word that should be used. This is a debt.
Yes.
That you have, that you are promising to pay back, and that will follow you mm-hmm. for years. And
years.
And yes, and you promise to pay it back. So for so many, it is that first piece that begins to build your credit
yes.
history. So it's really, really, really important. If you're not actually getting counseling, like Stace just said, the way it happens these days, not so much. Do adulting.
Mm-hmm.
Educate yourself. Spend some time.
Yes.
Don't just happy click through the DocuSign or eSign thing. Read what it says and make sure that you understand. Because even if you don't graduate and you don't get that degree or you don't get that career in whatever it is you're hoping to have, the debt is still there.
Yep.
You still have to pay the debt back.
That's right.
And it can't be wiped out in bankruptcy. It is there permanently yeah. until you pay it off.
Yeah.
So it is a big deal. And parents, it's a big deal for you to understand mm-hmm. as well. And to help, you know, the young, the students in your household to understand what that really means and how that will impact them, because it's one of the first burdens that they will carry
That's
with
right.
them for into their new life.
Yeah. And what a lot of these kids that are coming out of college or coming out of trade school with debts, not so much to the trade schools, because a lot of the trade schools have a lot of grant opportunities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, definitely talk to your kids, see where they want to be, where their head is, so that they're not spending money needlessly. Mm-hmm. My son did both routes. He started at a university. It was not for him. He ended up going trade school, and he's done fabulous there. Mm-hmm. But he's like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that first year because I still have these student loans. Mm-hmm. Famous last words. Mm-hmm. So, you know, make sure that you're having the conversations. But when they get to the point where they're looking to buy their first home, here's how we look at student loans.
Mm-hmm.
USDA 502 Direct, which is for lower income, is the most lenient. I'm going to start there. Mm-hmm. They will look at it. If you've got a credit, yes, go
lower
ahead.
Lower income, also defined mm-hmm. as starting income.
Yes, exactly.
New
52,
out of college.
52, 50,000, 50,
yeah.
right a
yeah.
year. Yeah,
it's,
so.
To help you start out.
That's right. So if you are in that bracket, which most of them are, in that case, they'll look at 5% of the student loan balance as a minimum payment, even if they are on income-based repayment, unless they meet certain criteria, then we can choose that. But that's a big thing to keep in mind. Now, if they're looking at a different type of loan, maybe an FHA or a conventional, they're going to look at the either actual payment or they're going to look at it at 1%. And if you're talking $50,000 in student loans, believe me, that's not a lot
Mm-mm.
compared to what I see.
Right.
So if you're going to, you know, that's a lot of money. That's a $500 token payment. And my clients will say to me, but I'm not paying it. Ah, yes, yet.
Yes.
Yet.
deferred,
but you have to be ready for it.
Doesn't mean no debt.
So it's just one of those things that talking to your kids and having an honest conversation, because they're going to be excited and they should be. This isn't about killing joy. This is about extending it. Extend the joy. We are so proud of you and we want to set you up for success. And here's the first piece, because you are a grown up, you're going to make this choice for yourself. Where do you want to be walking out those doors with your degree in 4 years? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be ready to rock and maybe, you know, start your career and think about buying a home and maybe starting a family in a couple years and saving?
Having job options where you don't have to pick the one that makes the most money, but would rather pick one that is more interesting.
Exactly. Extend the joy, mm-hmm. right? And the last thing that we want to do is to make anybody feel burdened. Mm-hmm. However, that all said,
Are we saying student loans are bad things?
Not at all.
No, they're wonderful.
Not at all. It's about being smart with them.
Exactly.
And understanding that if you get into a situation or you know somebody that is struggling, that there is help. There are some fantastic programs, including student loan rehabilitation, which is a one and done. You get one shot at it. If you find yourself in a situation or somebody that you know that's having their student loans taken out of their income tax every year because they've been in arrears and they're in such a negative state, there are programs to get you out of that, to rehabilitate that loan and make it nice and bright and shiny and new, and it'll take away a lot of the interest and all kinds of good things. So there are programs. The problem is that people will say to me is, well, how come I never knew? Mm-hmm. They're not going to come out and find you.
Right.
You have to take ownership.
You're an adult.
That's right. You have to take ownership of your situation.
You know how to research.
That's right. So please, if you know somebody that's struggling, give us a call. We've got fantastic student loan counselors at Clinch Pal. I mean, believe me, this is my jam because I've been living it.
Right.
I walk the walk. I talk the talk, definitely. And believe me, I know that should I actually end up graduating in December, that March 1st, my student loans start coming due.
That's right.
You know, I am planning on that day because it's the reality, mm-hmm. right? This is not free money, but it was a choice that I made. And to keep in mind also, talking to your students now, where do they see their education leading them? Are they going to be a four and done? Or are they going to maybe look at a master's or a graduate program? Set the tools up now. Because when you get to the graduate education level, there is very little free money. Mm-hmm. It's all loans at that point. Mm. So again, what is your primary goal? Where do you want to be? And how do you get there? And
does the
I did not have
that. Warrant the debt?
That's right. That's a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be perfectly honest. When you look at my stuff on paper, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. 100% not. However, this is where the joy comes back in, right? For me, I've made the conscious decision that this is something that's in me that I need to do for me. I have to go and I've got to see how far I can take this thing. So you know what? I've made that, but I've made it as a 55-year-old woman.
Right.
Right? Could I have made that as an 18-year-old woman? Absolutely. I was not ready for that. I didn't even know what it meant.
Nah.
And I think we forget that these are 18-year-olds and this is their first time managing debt and being on their own. And let's take them by the hand and set them up for success, mm-hmm. so that they don't make the mistakes that maybe we have in the past.
Yes. And don't wait until you're in trouble to come ask for coaching or counseling. Do it as you're thinking about taking on the debt, because that then those decisions are not as life altering, to be quite honest, or they can be. So,
well, I appreciate this conversation has been great. It's reminded me that I really do need to learn how to put air in a tire and change a tire, because that is my adulting 101 mishap for
today.
Me. Yeah, I just don't. Do you know how to do it?
I do.
Well, see, there you are. You're much more of a woman.
I'm from Crab Orchard.
That's right. Well, there you go. Find out more about student loan counseling or any of our financial product counseling sessions, our home loan programs, our repair programs online at clinchpal.net.
And you could call our office at 865-828-5927.
I'm Stace Cargi. Reach me at 865-274-8598.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And we'll see you next week on Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. Have a great week.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.